LSG Media presents the Walking Dead Podcast. Welcome back to the Walking Dead Podcast by LSG Media. I am Dean, and I am joined by Matthew, and together we are going to be talking about something very exciting called The Walking Dead. And it's especially exciting for my wonderful friend on the other side of the microphone, all the way in Portland, Oregon, named Matthew. For those of you who don't know, we are cross-country communication right now. I'm in Massachusetts, he's in Oregon, and we are talking about The Walking Dead, and he's excited. But I'm going to let him tell you why he's excited, because why bury the lead? Why don't you just tease a little as to your excitement, and we'll get to it as we get to the end of the episode.
Well, all right, so I lost the Super Bowl this year. My team, the Carolina Panthers, they finally got there, their second time, and they fucking choked. They lost.
Boy,
they lost.
Yeah.
But it's all okay, because Rishon is real. It's
Rishon
finally happened.
Rishon is real.
Oh, praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God. It's finally happened. The sweatiest, bestest thing that could happen to this damn show. I've been waiting for this shit for a long time. Well, that's the one thing I want to touch on as we get into this. I have been looking toward this from relatively early in season four. I was going, man, I wonder if Rick and Michonne got something. I wonder if that can go in a good direction. Finally. Finally.
I want you to be honest with our listeners.
Yes.
Okay?
All right.
I want you to tell them just how much fan fiction Rishon porn have you written?
Well, I mean, they've carved out an entire space in the Library of Congress just for my works. My works.
Good
Jesus,
Lord.
I've wanted this so bad.
All right. Well, don't blow your load too early.
Oh, no.
Let's take our
safe.
Time. Let's I'm take edging. Our time like adults. You're edging. Dangerous game, pal. Dangerous game you play. Well, let's edge our way into this climactic finale. But before we do that, let's just start at the beginning. Let's ease our way in. Let's see how it goes. So it's called The Next World. Initial impressions. Matthew, try, if you can, to tell me some of your initial impressions without letting the wonderful romance that has occurred color your palette.
This is, okay, so I have gotten to watch it twice now. It's a good episode. I enjoy it. I think it's definitely an episode where I see its holes a lot more second viewing. You know,
yeah, Rick saw a couple of holes, too. He's going to be here all night with bad jokes.
Oh, it's going to be relentless. This is just everybody, prepare your bodies.
Prepare yourself.
But yeah, no, there's some serious stretches of belief with some of the stuff with DeJesus, his parts of the show, which I like, and they're good, and I think this character is going to be really interesting. But you know, there's like the second viewing had a little more. I was like, this is kind of like silly, wacky in parts that's not good. But on the whole, I actually really, really like that. This is a happy episode. It's positive. Like our characters have something good going again, even, you know, even when we have the most dire scenes when, oh, the car gets stolen, it doesn't feel as serious as The Walking Dead normally does, and I mean that in a good way. It doesn't feel as grim. Like, there's some levity to all of it, and we finally get that, you know, a romantic payoff, which when's the last time we've had that in this show? I mean, shit, that's been a long time coming. This is one of the few shows where it's like, I want the dramatic stakes to be like ratcheted down just a little bit. I'm like, just, hey, let our characters catch their breaths. And right. It's finally. And I feel like this is one of the best episodes they've done of that slower kind of episode, you know, a ratcheting down. This has been one of the better of those because, and we've harped on this before of like, why not have dual storylines where one's slow and one's pretty fast and action packed? And they really did do that this episode. Like, you know, the Jesus and Rick and Daryl situation is pretty fast paced, pretty relentless. There's a few slow down parts. And like I said, there's some silly stuff, but it's the fun, you know, ride. And then there's back at home Alexandria stuff, which is at first really slow and plodding along. And some parts of it are, they get fairly interesting. But, oh, the most interesting part of the show is back at home. And we will definitely fucking get to that.
Indeed.
How about you?
My initial impressions of this episode are, it's pretty good, and there's some cool shit that happens, and then there's some things that are kind of annoying, but we'll get to. I ship. There you go, people.
There we are.
Ugh. Yay! Contemporary references!
He must be on Twitter!
Yeah, he must be a tweeting machine. Speaking of Twitter, you want to know what's kind of cool? Side tangent. Mixler Live is like a, the fuck am I trying to say? They're a Twitter account. So Twitter has a Mixler account. They just tweeted out our show to their followers.
What?
Yeah, they just tweeted us out to their 6,500 or whatever they have.
Thanks, Mixler.
Thanks, guys. You guys are so cool. They probably wouldn't do that if they knew you used someone else's music for a minute. yeah, man, I like what's going on in this episode between Rick and Michonne. There's technical little nitpicky things that kind of annoy me, and we're going to talk about some of that stuff, so I don't want to blow it too early here. And I want to take my time. But yeah, man, I think the way you describe it is a good way to describe it, and that's it's an episode that ratchets things down a little bit, but it's not like super boring. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. We don't have to come all the way down to like season two farm talk.
Right. But I will say this. This is something I kind of hinted at last time you and I talked, and that's, I'm not sure, I don't really know what's going on with The Walking Dead. I'm starting to, I feel like I'm in a long-term relationship, and I'm starting to think to myself, where is this going? I mean, is it going somewhere? You know, is it progressing somewhere else now? I'm starting to ask that question.
Are you talking about like the series as a whole? Series, like, where is it going to end?
The series as a whole. Ooh. Yeah, the series as a whole. I'm starting to. Now, I don't know why I'm doing that. I'm not sure, but I'm starting to come to the conclusion that how much more storytelling do they have in this type of cadence where it's we meet a new group of people, we integrate some of them die, some of them are cool, we meet a bad guy then is like, oh, hey, what's up, Adam Talbot? Nice to see you in the chat. Awesome. Welcome to Mixler, my brother. And I don't know if he wants me to reveal his profession, but I will just say, stay safe, pal. So, yeah, man, I thought about, I guess, I don't know. I don't know how the best way to say it, to be honest with you, but I just want it to, I don't want it to be the same shit. Like, oh, there's a bad guy. This bad guy is really bad. Like, wow, the governor was really bad, but this guy cracks people's heads open and slashes throats.
this guy's worse. He
eats people. Whoa, this guy's crazy. He eats people. This guy cuts off babies' dicks. I mean, he's super evil. Right? And I'm just like, okay, like, I'm starting to ask myself, where is it going? Right?
Where are we going?
Yeah. I don't know why I'm asking that, because you could probably listen to me 9 podcast episodes ago, if even that many, and I could say, I don't care as long as it entertains me. And maybe that's the hitch. Maybe it's entertaining me, but not enough to where I don't ask the question. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay. I see what you're saying.
So I'm entertained. I'm enjoying it. I think Fear the Walking Dead was like, I don't know. It did something to my brain, and it made me go, ugh. But I was very happy to get back to The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And but now I'm asking myself, I think the veneer is wearing off, and I'm starting to ask myself, what's going on with this series? What's going to be? I guess Negan's going to have to be super compelling to me, and he might just be, because the actor is awesome. But
fantastic.
I'm not saying I'm ready to cancel The Walking Dead podcast and stop watching it. I'm just saying, where is it going, and what's going to be the storylines going forward? Now, there's a couple of things in this storyline that interest me that could be very interesting going forward.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's what I want to see here. Yeah.
I got to say, and we always kind of do predictions at the end of the show. If I had to put money on series predictions right now, like how is this series going to end? I think we're going to end up somewhere very similar to an aged Luke Skywalker passing it off to the new generation as he lays down and knows what he did, helped the world kind of thing with Rick, yes. where he's going to pass it on to Carl. Carl, I was going to say puts on the hat, but he still fucking has the hat, so that motif doesn't work. But, you know, he walks into the sunset with hope for the future, and Rick dies. Like, it's going to be something like that.
Yeah.
I think Rick will make it to the end. It might be, you know, a Breaking Bad thing. The last thing we see is a happily dying Rick. I don't know. But it's definitely... we've got to be headed toward that kind of mm-hmm. place. Like, I've heard some speculation of people being like, oh, well, maybe, you know, eventually Rick and all of them die and, like, new people, like, take their place and they keep marching on. I'm like, that seems doomed. Like, that's, what, now we just have a new cast of characters doing the same shit? Like, mm-hmm. nah, come on, it's got to end at some point.
But, yeah.
No, I think it's got a healthy 3, maybe 4 seasons left.
There's a couple of comments in chat about how this is about the people, not the zombies, which Felix said. I completely agree. Fear the Walking Dead will meet the Walking Dead, Lone Star Kid says. You know, that's kind of what you're saying. It's almost like we're passing the torch to the next generation. Yeah. Next thing you know, they got holodecks, they got food replicators.
Exactly. Zombies are just something that happened once a week.
Starfleet actually has regulations. There's a clear chain of command. But yeah, it could simply be something that like that. I mean, an image of Carl, you know, of Carl, boy, does that not just make you want to fucking kill yourself a little bit?
you know, I just realized how it's going to end. He's going to walk away from Rick's funeral, get back up onto the roof, crack open another 2-gallon bucket of pudding, and watch the sun go down.
Boy, the end
of The Walking
Dead. I always think of, like, do you remember when Family Guy did, like, when Charlie Brown was, like, an old burnout? He's, like, a wicked piece of shit.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I imagine, like, Carl. Oh, fuck this, man. My dad ruined my life, man. Like, you just can't get it together, you know?
Everybody compares me to my dad.
Yeah, I can't get a job. But we
jump ahead sometimes, but we have really jumped ahead.
Yeah, we'll predict and shit. We'll just fucking predict it, bitch. But yeah, man, I don't know. I guess we'll see. So
yeah,
let's rein it in. Let's rein this shit in and talk about More Than a Feeling by Boston. Mm-hmm. I get it. More Than a Feeling. I get it. There's more than a feeling here between Michonne and Rick.
Yeah, it gets to the physical.
Carl,
that's what we're getting at.
Bouncing a ball off the wall. Talk to me about this open.
You know, I didn't notice until the second viewing, even though it's literally the very first thing we see, is Rick with a knife carving another hole into his belt. But I guess, you know, this is all a part of, you know, it's mentioned a small handful of times throughout the episode, like their food situation is getting pretty desperate. And they're losing weight. He's tightening his belt. So they're kind of pounding home the fact that that zombie outbreak, even though it was overcome and people have survived and things are going, you know, they're repairing, but we're, I guess, still supposed to be a long way out from being fully safe and well fed again. And so that's, you know, the impetus to go out on all these runs that they're going on. But yeah, pretty fucking surprising. Just bam, there's Michonne in her bathrobe with her hair up, just hanging out in the house. Like, already looking like a wife. First scene. I mean, I was already pretty much like, well, this is just a done deal, right? We're here. We're there. We're in the paradise I always wanted.
Yeah, and they just, it's there. It's present. You are in the middle of this right away.
Yes.
Yeah, man. It's been about 5 weeks. Is that what we're supposed to believe?
I believe so. Carl's up and at him, like you said, throwing the ball. Physical therapy on orders of Denise.
Yep. We got some playfulness, little hand slaps, spearmint and baking soda, Michonne's favorite. So we're right in the middle of this little home away from the apocalypse.
This seemingly
normal situation here.
This little domestic winky butt pinching. That I dig. I'm actually into it.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I don't mind this so much. I like that we see something like this, something kind of normal where people are being like people. I like this. Now, mm-hmm. let's talk a little bit about the food situation. And we're not going to spend, I don't know, we're not going to spend too much time on this. Let's just say this. It's been 5 weeks, so we'll go ahead and assume that they don't have a lot of food, even though they lost a shitload of people, right?
Yeah.
You'd figure that would free up some of their food, but I'll tell you what, man, food can go pretty fast, and when food gets gone, people get crazy. So, you know, obviously the belt signifying the tightening of the belt, they're losing weight, they're rationing out their food as best they can. They've been at this for a long time. They probably have a good idea how to do this. So I'm just going to take their word for it that despite population loss by way of the outbreak and the wolves coming over the wall and killing a bunch of people and scattering some others, that their food supply is a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
that's our driving force.
That's our driving force. This is a run episode where they meet a new character. So on the surface, that's what I'm saying. We got a seemingly normal open. They have to go out on a run. They have to get some kind of supplies because they're low on supplies. And then while they're out there, they run into something zany and then they come back. So it's formulaic as far as The Walking Dead goes. That part of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we go over to Daryl and Denise discussing the lists. So here we got one lover, one group of lovers in Rishon and Mick. Jesus, Rishon. In Michonne and Rick.
It's forced its way into your brain. We've been lobotomized by that hashtag.
Fact. Yes, fact. Fact. And we are going to show that Denise wants to get some soda pop for her female lover.
No, it's cute. It's
I want to get her soda pop. I'll tell you what, there's nothing like washing down a good night of cunnilingus with some fucking orange soda pop.
That's right.
Yum.
How else do you celebrate?
Delish. So we got the orange soda pop and we got the spearmint and baking soda request. They're just setting stuff together. We get a little bit of a look in and we see Alexandria's Wall of the Fallen. Eugene tells them about sorghum, which is essentially a criminally underrated grain, a hardy grain is what he's telling us.
Yeah. I thought
it can survive drought and things like that.
One thing about that whole exchange, I thought it was so weird how icy Daryl and Rick were towards Eugene at this point. I'm like, that seems like a really good idea, actually, and a good point that he's pointing out a particular crop to keep an eye on because it would be easier to grow and easier to maintain and survive.
Right.
Sounds like a good idea. Why are you guys being so cold shoulders about it?
Now, it's a grain that is responsible for what exactly? Is that responsible for corn? I'm not sure, but maybe somebody in the chat can look that up for us. What the fuck is sorghum? I have no idea. Not a farmer. Don't know much about that particular grain, other than Eugene seems to know a lot about it, because maybe it was one of his crafting skills in World of Warcraft.
Exactly. I spent a lot of time going down Wikipedia rabbit holes, learned a lot about sorghum.
I mean, I'm max leveled in grain retrieval, and wow. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. But Rick's confident they'll find food or people despite not seeing anyone for weeks. And here's a dynamic that enters this episode, which is you have Rick and Daryl talking about, you know, they're kind of coming down on opposite sides.
Yeah.
A little
hopefulness
bit
versus cynicism and being open versus not closing off, which I think I feel the place you're getting at. It's like we flopped one way, we flip-flopped another, and now we've flopped back. It's like it just keeps going back and forth. They're trading those perspectives, which is a little weird. Like, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, they're chatting a little bit. Daryl thinks finding nobody's a good thing. Rick's confident they're going to find people. So what do you think about this? Do you think that recruiting people after, I mean, this is what I mean by the show. Like, what's the fucking, what are we trying to do here? What's the point?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And we're going to talk about it in a minute, because the first thing I want to do is I want to go back to this sorghum thing. Somebody, it looks like David Earl posted a massive thing in here, and it says, native to Africa with many cultivated forms, is an important crop worldwide used for food as grain, as in sorghum syrup or sorghum molasses, animal fodder, the production of alcoholic beverages, and
biofuels. Well done and done.
Wow. Most varieties are drought and heat tolerant and are especially important in arid regions where the grain is one of the staples for poor and rural people. These varieties form important components of pastures in many tropical regions. Okay, makes sense. Fifth most important cereal crop grown in the world. Wow.
Damn.
There you go. Thank you for that, David Earl. So there's sorghum. So yes, it is pretty goddamn important. Now, let's go back to what I was trying to say. So Rick's, and I know it's just casual conversation in a truck, and I need not run with it, but it is
No, something. It's revealing.
It's revealing. It has to be discussed.
Yeah.
What is your mission? Like, if you are Rick Matthew, you're going to be Rick Grimes.
Ooh, that does mean I get Michonne. All right, I'm down. I'm damn in.
Okay, you're in. So, Rick, here's the situation, boss. We're 5 weeks removed from our last encounter with those walkers. We lost a lot of people. You got over it, and you're fucking Michonne. It's fine. And
I've moved on quite nicely.
You moved on. Absolutely. You've definitely moved on. Certainly an upgrade, at least personality-wise. And I mean, Michonne's hot. Don't get me wrong, but. Breckenridge is hot too, especially in American Horror Story. But Michonne definitely has miles of personality over that fucking dead-eyed nothing.
So, mother shadow.
So, you've lost some weight. You need some food. What do you think we should do? Go.
Go. Well, I mean. Like, you know, it's funny. Denise is the one pointing it out when she's asking for the special, my special request. But she's saying food and medical supplies are obviously the priority.
Of course.
There's an increase of runs and you're out looking for food and medical supplies. End of story. And I think that really is it. That's your priority in this situation. They've got injured people they're still caring for. I'm sure they were looking for lots of medical supplies while Carl was laid up.
Yes.
That's really the priority. But I am with Rick as far as you should be open to more people. And we had this discussion, especially back when they were preparing all the plans for the zombie corralling. And, like, you know, you get all those scenes of, like, people digging holes and putting up these posts for the new fences and all this different stuff. It's like people themselves are a resource that you need just like anything else. It's, you know, I think it's a mistake to see people only as a liability or like, oh, well, that's just more mouths to feed. That's more this. They are a resource and they're more eyes to keep watch over things. They are more people to help you secure food and help you defend, you know, everything around you. So they are also a resource, but it's just, and this, at this time point, I'm like, you're not looking for that. If somebody comes along that seems trustworthy and you want to scope out, maybe so. But definitely, I can't imagine the idea of sending like Aaron and then one of those guys out to like, no, you're just going out to go find more people. I'll be like, nah, we're not ready for that yet.
But keep your eye open. I'm not totally opposed to this plan either. I do believe that people can be a resource, the right people.
Yeah.
I think their interviewing process, they need to ratchet that down a little bit.
How many walkers you killed?
Yeah, absolutely. I was also thinking that, you know, you want to keep your eyes open for some people, for sure. And you want to make sure that you get the right people in your camp. People that aren't just going to be a depletion of resources, people that are going to be valuable, I think is important. I think people have to be able to, I mean, yes, there's some room for charity, but can't all be charity cases. I believe in all of these things. I believe if you want to try to have some sort of normalcy in your life, that you have to conduct your business as such to attract people in a way that's not going to just be like this militaristic, strict fucking way of life. But true. You also have to kind of be slick too. You have to be smart the way you do it. And so I don't mind Rick thinking, oh, there might be people out here. I mean, food's the priority and shit, but there might be people out here. And if there are, that's great. And then Daryl's like, no. And you got to remember, Daryl was just out, got fucking kidnapped, got involved in this crazy forest thing where he had the truck.
Then he
had to blow up all these other guys with a fucking RPG. So obviously,
we see, you know, that was my question. It's like, I could follow, you know, because like they're talking about that early on area where when they first got there and Daryl was actually the one who was one of the first to open up and be like, yeah, you know what? Maybe we should trust these people. Maybe we should help recruit. And Rick was still like, nah, fuck that. And now they've flopped again. I can follow Rick's transition. You know, it took him a long time. And finally, you know, the thing that pushed him over was this terrible loss. And then seeing everybody unite behind him in order to survive, that gets him to believe again. I'm like, okay, great. But I had kind of lost track. I'm like, but why did Daryl flip back to being against it? Like, that was where I was like,
that's got to be the reason.
I think you pointed it out. I think him getting kidnapped, everybody he met out in the wild at this point pretty much fucked him over. So I guess that's what it is.
And remember, he missed that. He missed the fucking, everything. You know, level 18 paladin fucking, I'm going to inspire everyone around me with my smiting of zombies. Like, he wasn't there. He showed up with the truck at the end.
Yeah.
He was out fending off that douchebag who stole his shit.
Yep.
Getting out of there, getting caught by these Negan's fucking chuckleheads that he dropped a bomb on. So he's, you know, this has been his experience so far. And before he left.
Yeah.
Right. Before he left, Alexandria were a fucking bunch of mopes.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's
so that's his whole perspective is what Rick's was before Rick kind of had this singular moment. Now, one thing we have to know is that we are 5 weeks in the future. So has Daryl not seen some of the progress made so far? I'm not sure. That could just be a writing faux pas. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little fuzzy. Now that you've said it, it does make more sense to me. But I still, it's like I can see Rick's transition back to this, you know, perspective a little easier than Daryl's. I'm kind of still like, I don't quite follow. But all right,
right, for sure. And you know, it's cool though. Like I like that they, I like that it. It kind of makes sense based off of what we saw on screen anyway.
Yeah.
Who knows how much time Daryl actually spent in the walls of Alexandria the last 5 weeks. Obviously not enough for him to feel like whatever.
Off hunting skunks or whatever the fuck he does.
Doing his thing. Doing my thing. Shooting small woodland mammals. So we get a little shot of Michonne on her guard posts. And, you know, I watched this episode. Josh is in chat. He was over here watching it with me at my place. And we were yelling at the TV how you can't just climb down from your fucking post and not tell anybody and go romping through the woods because who's guarding the wall? But she strolls into the woods and she goes to check a few things out. Yeah. And then we cut over to Enid and Maggie. So I guess Maggie's just saying, I just want you to know that with my Maggie wisdom, that I'm just telling you right now that if you need somebody to talk to, you can talk to me.
I got me some down-home country biscuit-flavored wisdom anytime you need a nibble.
Mm-hmm. We'll put extra gravy on that, too. You know what I mean?
You know, it's funny. In this, and I know this is like the boring part of the episode, and it is really, more so than Enid, I'm actually more open to this path for Maggie. I'm like, because, you know, kind of what we're getting at about where is this show going? What are they going to do? What is the, you know, the overall series arc for these characters? I think it does make sense for Maggie at this point to become a more maternal character. Like,
right.
You know, Carol, we've seen her become just a hard ass. Michonne was such a hard ass, and her part of her arc is her softening up a little bit, opening up, you know, to love and motherhood. I like this idea that Maggie is now going to kind of step more decisively in that direction of like, I'm going to start looking out for this kid. I miss my sister. I'm opening myself up to being kind of like an adoptive parent to this kid. And, and you know, Glenn and her can kind of have that, you know, as well. I think that's an interesting direction for her. Too bad we only see 3 seconds of that in this episode and the rest is Enid and Carl being moody together. But I like that, you know, we've kind of laid the foundation.
You know what's good about this? What's really, really good about this is that Maggie, by way of sort of kind of adopting Enid, that Glenn and Maggie will have practice with Enid. So when Enid dies eventually, they'll have nice practice in for when they raise their little fucking zombie baby.
That will inevitably die.
Yeah, so they can make all the mistakes they need to make with kid one, right? Second kid, you know what I'm talking about.
Because Robert Kirkman is an insatiable Mayan blood god who cannot fucking get enough death.
Nope, he sure can't.
He can't.
Although he seems to have backed off on murdering black people, which is a positive move.
About fucking time.
Yeah,
Jesus.
I think he may have been booted from the KKK. I think he was in trouble. And they were like, why don't you kill more than black men, man? Come on. And then he didn't, and they booted him. So now he's like, maybe he's rebelling. Maybe he's changing his ways.
Maybe the rest of the world is right.
maybe you do kill every black character. But no. Yeah, so they can use Enid as kind of like a test subject for when they get their little baby.
Yeah, yeah. You know? She's the puppy. She's their pound puppy for when they get their real dog.
Because Maggie's as honest as trees are tall, and she's going to give you good old-fashioned advice.
Mm-hmm. Green family wisdom.
Green family wisdom. My daddy used to say. So at the little granary place, the goddamn door says sorghum on it.
Yes, I know. I didn't quite catch it. You know, you see it when they come up to the door. It's like huge, saying sorghum. But I like when the car goes flying by the first. You know, I didn't notice on the first time, but it stops. They back up and then go down the road because it's also on the fucking roof.
Yeah, just absolutely
well advertised. We're into sorghum.
So the two men have pistols, and you know, Josh mentioned this in the chat, and we railed on this for a long fucking time. Dude, what the fuck are you guys? Why does Daryl have? Look, I get it. Even though it's not good tactically, and we're gonna spend some time on this. I know Rick has his fucking 357 Python. Like, I get it. That's his fucking beast of a pistol. Yeah, man.
That's my thing.
My fucking 357's my thing. Right, beastly pistol. But Daryl whips out a snub nose. Like he's some fucking woman fending off a rapist. What is he doing with that pistol? I don't understand it. Or is it like, dude, when you're out, here's the thing that annoys me about this, and I'm sure it annoys Josh equally, is that when you're out in this situation, you don't know what range somebody is going to engage you from. Yeah. And you have little pistols that are gonna be effective at like, what, 50 feet?
Seriously. Yeah, I mean, the most like well-equipped person that I remember seeing is like the way Sasha goes out with a big fucking long-range rifle slung over her shoulder and a sidearm. Like, that seems like the way to go, right?
Yes, man. You need a rifle when you go out into the fucking wilderness of Georgia. You can't operate without kind of long gun. You need a rifle, yes. Because what's something you and I have talked a lot about in this? It's called sloppy, right? You and I have spent time and time again on sloppy. And the sloppiness sometimes I just can't abide. And that's one of my criticisms for the episode. It's just basic little things. Having contingencies for when things get weird. Going out properly equipped. Checking securing the fucking area. You can't be like, all right, it looks good. Looks all right. And then this guy slams you from behind. What the fuck? So let's talk about when they get to the gas station.
Oh, no. I think we really need to go back to the scene that was probably a deleted scene in this where they were actually in the armory and preparing all their rifles for the next day. And they stop and look. And Rick's like, well, how are we going to pretend to be cowboys with all this? Yeah, let's just fucking bring two revolvers. That's good enough. Good Lord.
Yeah. So Daryl and Rick stop at this old gas station. They start fucking around with this vending machine.
And I want to point this out too. After not only, hey, we found some cool things, we found some supplies, let's go ahead and pick them up. No, they found the gold mine. They found the fucking Ark of the Covenant. A fucking truck packed full of so many supplies. I mean, this is probably the thing that bugged me the most about the episode. I can suspend my disbelief in a lot of things. But when I saw the amount of shit that was in that truck, I was like, gee, this is enough to, like, supply the town for maybe a couple of months completely without even having to go out on another run, possibly. Like, this one truck. I was like, I would be like, let's get this straight back to Alexandria right now. Let's just fucking take it right back. No detours, no side shit. 100%. That was my biggest thing.
Fucking percent. Yeah. And maybe they didn't because they wanted some medical supplies, too. You know, another thing that's going to happen, and, you know, you guys might get an echo for a second here as I reopen my chat because I got booted out. Oh, no, cool. It didn't. I know they are. I know they're also looking for medical supplies. Like, I get that. But yes, man, this is the fucking mother load.
Yes.
You need to get this shit back to where it goes. There's a shitload of food in there. And who knows what else? It's a truck full of supplies. A truck full of supplies that seem to be non sequitur, like weird mixings of things, so maybe this is something somebody was gathering. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's the feeling I had about it, that this was like somebody's, actually it might still be somebody's dropping point where they're like, we're going to load up, and we're going to wait until this truck is nice and full, and we're going to ride it to freedom, baby. And then Rick and Daryl came along and said it's mine, and then we're going to get it stolen by somebody else.
Yeah, but that's it, man. Once you hit this, you fucking go.
You're
notching your belt. You're so fucking hungry, man.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It was like one of those things where, hey, let's leave the car. We'll come back and get it. I'm like, yeah, go straight back to Alexandria. If you really wanted to, even drop the damn thing off and go back out for another run to get the car, and then you hit your little side shit on the way home. Like, come on. Fuck, the mother load this thing was.
Now, I gotta tell you something right now, boys and girls. I know Michonne makes Rick work. I know she makes him burn many a calories.
Put your head back down. You ain't done.
You ain't done, boy. You ain't done, right? I know he burns a lot of calories under those moonlights, on those moonlit nights with Michonne. I know she makes that boy work. But can I say something?
Yes.
Dude, you gotta fucking, you're starving, man.
Yeah.
It ain't just burning lean calories. You're hungry. You fucking start slapping your lips around with your tongue and drooling a little bit. Get that truck home. Why are you guys digging around?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the end of it right there. That's my biggest gripe is that situation. And then, I can't remember the last time they came across something that good.
Can we go back to Sloppy City? Now, there's something weird about the Jesus guy. We're going to talk about him.
Ooh.
His name is Paul Rovia.
Mm-hmm.
That's his actual name, but my friends call me Jesus, or used to call me Jesus.
Yeah, so my friends call me Jesus. I used to bowl. I was decently good at it.
Yeah. And weird. Nobody fucks with the Jesus. He runs into them, and because he's apparently a ninja, he sneaks up on them. They didn't really secure this area. They were like a couple of fucking 8-year-olds running for the Kit Kats and the soda pop.
Yeah, and that was... This is truly like one of the few times... Maybe there's more. I'm sure there's more. Who am I kidding? But where you're like, these are our two well-seasoned, focused, you know, leader badasses. And they just flat out got too cocky and confident with this shit. They're like, we can stop and grab it. Why not?
Yes, man. No, dude. Absolutely. Right. And then they go... And then it becomes a thing where I start thinking to myself, listen to this. If this guy... And when we talked about this last night when we were watching it, me and the sub-host and Josh, and we were saying, if this guy had menace, they're fucking dead. you're dead. Because he steps out, pow, pow, dead, two shots.
Yep.
Or at least down and severely wounded.
I mean, he's able to run up and just grab-ass him for a second, like, stole your shit, now I can pretend.
He fucking gooses him. Oh, pussy freshman. Right? He yeah. could have killed him if he wanted to.
Seriously.
But he doesn't, because he's a different kind of cat. Now, let's talk a little bit about this character, Jesus.
He's interesting. What do you think? I mean, do you like this character, or does it seem too much like, is he also a stretch of believability as a character to you? Like, where do you seem like you are more hesitant on him than me?
I actually like him. I think I like the actor. I'm intrigued by the character. I am more annoyed with Rick and Daryl in these moments than I am with him, if that makes sense.
I see. Okay, I see what you're saying. Like, they've contrived too much of a situation to take advantage of them, that's like too much to believe.
Sloppy.
Sloppy, yeah.
Sloppy. He's exposing their sloppiness.
Pretty much.
Yeah, man. And that's kind of what I was thinking when I was watching it. But he is... I'm a little concerned by the character. I'm intrigued / concerned. I'm trepidatious. How's that? You like that word?
There we go. It's a good one. Good drop.
Now, the one thing I don't understand is that he's like, you know, we're covering The Prestige this weekend on the Sci-Fi Movie Podcast, on the Science Fiction Film Podcast. Jesus. And not the other one.
Not the one we don't do.
Not the one we don't do. The one we do, the Science Fiction Film Podcast. He's like, he escapes, he's on the roof. I mean, there's some weird shit that happens with this, huh?
Yeah. No, he really is like fucking Houdini he's like borderline superhuman with some of these abilities.
It's weird, man. So he comes out from nowhere. Rick and them get the gun on him. Jesus asks about their camp, apologizes. They all kind of exchange names. Paul Rovia, but my friends used to call me Jesus. And then he really stands in this like Christ crucified pose. Did you notice that? Like arms out, feet crossed. I was like, okay.
Oh, man. This guy is still way into Soundgarden.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Spoon Man. Is he being funny?
Yeah, there is something very. He is, I would say, the most cartoonish character that's emerged on the show that I can remember. Like, where there is something exaggerated about him beyond like real world. And it's not like I dislike. I mean, I think he is interesting. And I could see it going in. The thing I like about him the most is that we haven't really had a fucking con man character. Somebody who is purely, you know, they are capable, but they are like nothing but guile and
right.
undermining everybody. Because that's what this entire situation he contrived to fuck these two guys over. Yeah. And it's smart and cool, even though there's like this weird cartoonish flair to it all. I mean, his fucking name is Jesus. And yeah, like you said, the poses, and it's just kind of, and he knows like fucking Kung Fu. I mean, like it's a little
Dude,
wacky.
It's wacky. Rick notes that he was clean, trimmed beard. He thinks there's more to him. Rick is this guy's best friend already. Rick man crushes on this guy pretty hard.
True. Maybe I can get him in with me and Michonne.
Oh man, Rick. Daryl.
Full blown three way Sunday.
Maybe he's got a python. Daryl isn't down with this guy, and they fall for the classic old firecracker blunder.
Firecrackers in a metal barrel out back.
This is like the shenanigans that ensue in this episode. I feel like I am watching some kind of 80s like silly TV show.
Yeah, you're watching the A-Team get ripped off.
Yeah, it's like the bad guards. Oh, they run over. Oh, you fell for it. And then he makes off with their truck.
Yeah.
I was like, well, Jesus. Can't say I blamed him, right?
Yeah. No, that's the whole time. The whole time, even though I was like, as far as my feelings toward Rick and Darrow, I was like, well, you fucking idiots. What'd you think? Like, you played it sloppy and you got fucked over by a guy who's pretty smart and probably good at fucking people over. But as far as him, I was like, yeah, crafty little shit. He's good at this. Like, you know, I was impressed with his fucking stealing of the truck. I was kind of like, hey, you earned it.
Yeah. And I mean, they hear something, they're compelled to investigate. So they go over there and he makes off with the truck, man. Like your mother load that you decided to stop and not take right home.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, we'll come back to, we might as well just run this and come back to the Spencer and Michonne and the Carl and Enid stuff. Do you want to?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we'll wrap with Michonne. So they run. Can I just say something?
Please.
Daryl runs like an old woman who recently recovered from polio.
Trying to carry a lot of eggs home from the store.
He is a terrible runner.
They're both so slimy and gaunt in this.
He just looks, you know what he looks like? He looks like somebody who never played sports and then as an adult was told to run somewhere. Like, I know that sounds really mean, but man, his running, like Rick runs, I go, okay, Rick's running. He doesn't look like he's, you know, using someone else's body.
Well, you know what it really is? Daryl is one of those naturally strong rednecks, but he still smokes like two packs of Marlboro Reds a day. Like, he's strong and that wiry. Like, yeah, he's going to take you in an arm wrestling match. He'll probably even, like, snap your fucking arm at the wrist. But, boy, you have to – when you bring it into cardio, oh, shit, that's not his strong game.
Yeah, like, you know, if you play football, if you play baseball, I mean, even as a youngster, but if you're playing, if you grow up playing sports and shit or running, you have, like, if you've never fucking run before, and that's the sad reality of a lot of people growing up today, like, they're like, I've never ran anywhere. I ran in from the rain once. Does that count? No, that doesn't count, fucker. Like, they never ran, you know, anywhere. He looked like just a bad runner to me. I don't know. Maybe he had to take a shit.
Sweating cigarette tar over here.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. So, Dow breaks open the vending machine to get his special request, and they start drinking broken soda cans or pop cans, depending on where you are in the U.S.
Silly shits. It's fucking soda. Or Coke, soda. As they actually call it in the South. In the South, you call every soft drink Coke. Can I get a Coke? And everybody knows what you mean.
Right, right. And then Rick's like, well, there are still people. We should bring them in, but not this guy, because Daryl's not down with Jesus. And then they get back to running on the trail again.
Well, I do I do like that Rick flips back to, well, oh, are we going to bring in this guy, asked Daryl. And it's like, no, not this guy, the guy who just fucked us over. So he's not fully back on that train.
Right, absolutely. And then Daryl and Rick run some more. They're following tire marks. They see the truck in the road, and then they see Jesus fixing the flat tire.
There we are.
So they move into the tree line, which is kind of smart, and they're watching him. And this is the moment where you think to yourself, if I only had a rifle, ba-doop, 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 ba-doop. Right?
Yeah, seriously.
You don't have to murder the guy because, I mean, you could just, from there, you rip a shot at the truck.
Exactly.
He's going to fucking beat feet, you know, and you tell him to take off, man.
Yeah. There you go. The old Sasha, I'm going to shoot the ground right in front of your little toesies and say, fuck off with all my shit.
Yeah. Nope. So Rick grabs Jesus with a real bad grip. Real shitty technique here by Rick.
This is patented hug technique. The hug bad, school of kung fu.
Bad grip, bad positioning. You're a fucking mess, dude. You got to get your hips away from his. You got to get lower. Fucking hide your head in his back.
Yeah. He slops McKenzie in this episode.
He slops McKenzie. He's got to get a nice gable grip on him instead of that fucking weird grip he had. And then, dude, what happens here with Kung Fu Jesus?
Boy, does he fucking lay onto them. God.
Right.
He's definitely, I mean, he is like genuinely, you know, formally trained, I guess. Whereas everybody else seems to have just like, they've just expounded upon their already natural redneck barroom fighting skills and just gotten to hone them by using them a lot. This guy went to class.
Yeah.
Maybe with a bunch of kids, but it's paying off now.
Yeah, it's a little funky. Like, I'm going to sneak up and grab him. Huh! Get you in the old bear hug. Yeah, I love the bear hug move.
Got you in the old hug where I'm so high up on your arms, you can still grab anything.
Yes, dude. They could have, I mean, if Rick would have just blindside sacked him.
Seriously.
Like football, just boom, and down they go, and Daryl gets in, and, you know, like, overwhelm guys. I don't know, man. But anyway, they tie him up, and they're like, you know, so long, you prick. Daryl throws a can of soda at him, and they drive off.
Yeah, that is it. Not only after, you know, he's pointing out the whole, you know, I'm not a bad guy, right? Like, you guys can tell this much about me. Are you really? He's already kind of doing these weird little moral tests himself of like, you're really going to leave me like this? You're going to leave me here to die? And that's when, you know, Rick reveals his little compromise of like, well, these knots are pretty loose. I'm sure you can finagle your fucking way out of them. And he certainly does, because he's able to climb on the truck in the space between them stepping in and Daryl flipping him off.
What the fuck is going on in the show at this point?
I do not
know. Anybody? Can somebody help me out?
I mean, I guess we were supposed to just believe that this guy, like, is just fucking hyper kung fu magician? Like, that's his former job occupation.
If somebody listening to this can email us at hosts@libertystreetgeek.net. That's hosts@libertystreetgeek.net, and tell us. I would love to know if this guy is actually like comedy Jesus. Is he actually comedy Jesus?
Yeah, he might be. Apocalypse Jesus with all the powers that Jesus entails, mostly kung fu.
Yeah, it's weird, man.
It's
really weird.
And I mean, I guess
he's on the fucking roof, dude. He gets free of the restraints and gets on the roof in how many minutes?
Oh, man, 45 seconds.
I mean, are they going to find this guy's camp and it's going to be like that old HBO show Carnival?
Oh,
and
Jesus.
And like, you know, you got the bearded lady and he's the escape artist and the other one can fucking read palms and shit.
Here's like, our dwarf prophet.
I don't know. Here's our dwarf prophet. The fucking priest that can make people spit coins out of their mouth and shit, who used to be the Kurgan from Highlander. I don't know.
Ah, beautiful.
So I don't know, man.
And I mean, I get there's a part
Clancy
of me.
Clancy Brown, that's his name. Clancy Brown.
There we go. Yeah. I mean, and I think I'm like, there can be, I guess, there's room for hyper competent people in certain respects. Obviously, he's got to have some holes in what he can and can't do, or else he totally becomes a full blown cartoon. But I'm like, okay, we haven't met anybody, I guess, other than Morgan, who is, I guess, really hyper-adept, formally trained in physical combat. I mean, I guess Abraham has got his military training. So I can buy that, okay, maybe he really is like a badass hand-to-hand fighter and you would not want to fuck with him. And I can maybe even buy that he's like, I don't know, maybe he was some kind of survivalist that couldn't get out of knots and stuff like that. But we're going to have to see him falter after this. Like, it can't keep going on in this upward weird trend, because he is the most, he's interesting, like I was saying before, but he's also so far the most unrealistic character of the show.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Maria brings up in a chat that maybe there's twins. Yeah, I guess. I guess that's possible, but I guess, sure. Your better chance it's the second coming, to be honest with you. I don't know. But, I mean, Morgan's damn near 60. I don't think he's shedding ropes and climbing. They don't even hear him climb on the roof of the truck.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a box truck. It's hard to climb up there and not make noise. Even if he could get out of... So let's just for shits and giggles say, these two guys are sitting in the cab of the truck.
Yeah.
He's untied, standing in the back of the truck. They don't even... Let's just give him the time. Say he's free. Say he has some kind of weird little wrist knife and he slashes the fucking ropes like butter.
Yeah.
And he has a little fucking go-go gadget knife in his wrist and he slashes himself out. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe you don't hear him climb on the back of the truck, man?
My lame and very weak fanboy apologist explanation for that is
go
that
for it.
Maybe he waits until they start the truck and the rumble of the engine kind of covers the sound as he clambers up there. I don't know. That's the best I can do. That's all I got.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
I guess.
Oh, you know, that's fine. I don't need to be a total douche rocket about this, I suppose.
I mean, it's not a great explanation, and it's a damn stretch, but I guess that's what we gotta take.
Pretty thin.
But I would argue, you know, worse than that is, what's the plan after they hear him on the roof, Rick, in a scene that I do like, slams on the brake and throws him off, and then they chase after him in the truck? Like, were you just gonna run him down? Like, what was the fucking game plan here? Of course it turned into a shit show.
Yeah, so old
97. Get them boys, goddamn, there it goes.
Yeah.
That was some wacky
shit. Real wacky. They slam on the thing. He goes flying off. And then these two fucking numbskulls are like, let's chase him? I mean, are they just wrapped up? Do they have prey drive? Are they just wrapped up in grabbing the guy? Because, newsflash, once you slam on the brakes and he goes flying and lands on the field, you go, fuck, man. Guy's real tenacious.
Yeah.
And you turn the wheel about 90 degrees or so, and you drive away.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you line it up with his head.
Nah, fuck him. Who cares? You slam on the brakes. He goes flying.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, listen, we're going to take this home. The priority isn't this guy and how he's eluding us. The priority is that we need supplies because people are physically losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. They're losing weight.
The one thing they could have done in this scene differently that would make it 1,000 times more believable for me is if he slings him off the roof and Rick, you know, instead of what happens in the actual episode, Rick goes like, well, fuck that guy or whatever. Like, okay, we're done with him, and starts to back up. But Daryl, all pissed and wanting revenge, hops out and goes after him. And that's why he has to drive. But that's not what happens. In the show, he just slings him off the truck and then starts driving after him. And I was like, shit, man. You just want revenge? Or are you just going to run him down with your truck? Like, I just don't know what he was expecting to do there. And like you're saying, like, it is just kind of ridiculous. That's like, dude, you're still sitting on the gold mine and this guy is gone and he can do nothing and he doesn't even have a gun. Fuck him. Who cares?
But it was weird, man.
You got to get him in the show.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just... I don't know, man. It's weird. It's slop like this that makes me start to go, come on, man.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I know it's nitpicky, but...
And I do it's funny, I like the little exchange when Daryl finally does chase him back into the truck and he gets the gun all artful dodger off of him again and is like, duck, and fucking blows away the zombie behind him. Like, we're getting in towards the more interesting stuff of the character there of like, he is the unflappably... decent guy, even though he's been fucking people over. He's not a killer like them, and like they have been in the past at least. There's some cool possibilities here, and I'm totally open to the character, but it's a super wacky introduction. I'm like, we gotta tone it down a little bit next episode with this guy. Let's reel it in a little bit.
Real wacky. And I guess that's kind of what I'm getting at. So I guess we'll find out where it goes and what the hell it all means.
Yeah.
But the truck is in the pond.
Yeah.
down into the fucking bog.
The most painful, more painful than zombie Deanna. I'll just go ahead and fucking say it. Like, yeah, that had an emotional weight. Nah, I feel bad for Deanna. Yeah, her son. Yeah, okay. That fucking truck with all the wonderful toothpaste that Michonne's never going to get to try. What the fuck? God damn. That sucked. Even though it was also very funny to see the door bounce off of Jesus' head. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was painful to see.
Painful. They finally subdue Jesus. And that's when Rick's telling Daryl, like, he helped you, didn't he? I mean.
Yeah. He saw him waste the zombie.
He had the gun. Yeah. And that's when Rick's like, look, we're going to help Jesus versus leaving him here in a tree, as Daryl was putting
it. Yeah, you don't want to be the guy who betrays Jesus. History does not remember you well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So Daryl and Rick drive home. Rick mentions that Denise needs to look Jesus over. Rick tells Daryl to shut up because I'm finally listening kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I like that. So I like that line there.
They head home. And Daryl recalls the morning of Regent Pete. You are right. We shouldn't look. No, Rick says. Daryl was right. Again, this flippity-flop between the two. So that kind of ends the Daryl and romp with Jesus?
Yeah.
Question mark? So what we'll do is we'll go back to our other characters. We'll go through Spencer and Michonne. We'll go through Carl and Enid. We'll go through Carl and Enid in the woods.
Riveting.
We'll go through Michonne and Spencer. We'll talk a little Carl and Judith. And then we'll wrap with bringing Jesus to Denise and then Rick and Michonne Bone.
Rick and Michonne Bone Dome. Super Bowl. Super Rick Bowl 80.
That's awesome. You are a sick son bitch.
But, yeah, I don't know about your feelings on it, but the Carl and Enid scene where they're out in the woods.
Well, do you want to do Spencer and Michonne first?
I feel like we should just blow through Carl and Enid because it's not much there.
You want to blow through Carl and Enid?
Yeah. It's just kind of assorted
angsty
moodiness.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good call. It's a good call.
And I do like her. The thing I like the most about the scene is her being like, I don't want to come out here anymore. Basically, like, I'm breaking up with your lame ass because we're sitting in the woods while you read a comic. This is why 16-year-olds don't marry their fucking high school sweethearts. Because this is the shit you guys do.
God, you're so fucking right about that, aren't you?
Why? You don't want to be out anymore? I'm just going to play it for like 2 more hours. What?
Yeah, it's brutal. They wander around because they're kids and that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
And you know,
they hear the leaves rustling. Carl goes for the 9mm. They spot Michonne and Spencer. Mm-hmm. And then Carl kind of just pays it no heed, goes back to reading his comic book. And then Eden's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
This sucks. And you suck.
We're breaking up. And I want to. Totally breaking up.
I'm waiting. I'm saving myself for a man with dual vision.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
You don't even see me anymore, do you? I mean, I didn't mean it that way. You know what I mean?
God, you're so sensitive about it lately.
Yeah.
It was 5 weeks ago. Can you let go?
Honestly, I think I like Carl's behavior here.
It really? Like, okay.
In this, he's sitting there reading his fucking comic book while his nagging fucking girlfriend just talks a bunch of shit. Right?
Oh, Jesus.
And then she's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to go back. So he's like, okay. He just grabs his shit and starts going back. Your wish is my command. Okay? And that's when they hear the snarling. He doesn't even say anything. He's like, okay, we'll just go back. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
God,
and then
gotta love that passive. You know, it's a good, healthy relationship. Fucking passive aggressive teenagers marching away from each other in the woods. Yeah. One of you's gonna get stung to death by bees or something, like fucking Macaulay Culkin.
I hope you forgot your EpiPen. Carl and Enid argue about a walker.
Oh my God!
Sorry,
my girl. Anyways.
Talking about my girl. Yeah, I want you to die of asphyxiation. So Carl and Enid argue about the walker. Enid's like, just kill that fucking walker. Why are you going to let it fucking live?
You wouldn't understand.
And Carl's like, no, you don't get it. And that's where he reverts back to douchewagon town.
Yeah. See,
but I just mean in that moment I liked him.
Yeah. No, what's fun, the part that I actually liked about Enid here was her kind of dumping his ass and being like, I don't want to fucking come out here anymore, because that's evidently, I guess, been the basis of their relationship, is this whole, we escape to the outside of the walls. We're rebellious teenagers. Yes. And I like the direction that where she's being like, this is dumb. I think it's pointing back towards, I want to be a part of the community. I want to be a part of Maggie and Glenn and getting to know people again, and not this teenage bullshit sitting in the woods doing nothing. And the part, like you're saying, that I like about Carl is this recognition of this, you know, this dead person, this walker, is actually very, very significant to all of us, and especially to her living family. And I really liked his call here of like, you just need to leave. I'm going to handle this. You don't understand how important this is.
Right.
That was cool. That was actually, that was an interesting little twist.
It was definitely an interesting twist.
Also, you know, although
she, dude, before she walks away, I mean, we get the douchiest teenage face ever by her. When she's like, whatever. She does the whatever
fucking face. Ever. Fuck.
Oh, it's such a whatever face. It's brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. That the teen angst in it is just
dripping with sauce. Really dripping.
Yeah, it's pretty poured on. So that's what I'm hoping this is kind of the cap on teens alone in the woods, fucking One Tree Hill style shit we got going on over here. Like, okay, now they're going to go back into the community and be decent people again.
I guess. Here's the hoping. All right, let's talk about Spencer and Michonne, and then we're going to go to our rap. What do you think about that, kid?
Perfect.
All right. She wants to know what he's doing out here, right? Because Michonne's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're just a guy wandering around with a shovel over your back in the woods. Pretty suspicious. If this were Vegas, extra suspicious.
And he's all like, I'm going to go alone because I'm emo as fuck.
A lot of
grown-ass man. Great facial structure. Gonna be a baby.
He was gravitating to where the teenagers were by natural angsty instinct.
He's like, I'm so miserable because I'm fucking chiseled and I'm beautiful. Do you know how hard it is to be me?
Because I can just fill out a pair of Calvin Klein underwear like it's nobody's business.
Yeah. Well, he does say I like how Michonne's awesome in this episode, man.
Oh, God. No, she's great. She's fantastic.
We haven't talked about her enough. Despite abandoning her post, which is a hanging offense, she does really well.
She should be punished by death as a traitor, but I like her.
She should be keel-hauled, but I can see past it. You allowed the French vessel to close in on us where you failed at your watch, Mr. Hunter. Now, she's working on getting what she wants, advice from Deanna, which is really cool.
Yes.
I like that.
That
right?
was one of my, one of the best things that is connected to where she is. And I love when she says that. She's like, your mom, you know, told me I need to figure out what I want in my life. And his response is, well, have you? And she goes, I'm working up to it. Which fucking is so perfect, because for one, that means that she was working up to making the first move, because she's a strong-ass independent woman going for what she wants. Hell yes, hallelujah.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
When you see something, right, just like Grace Jones and Conan the Destroyer.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, so
you
good.
Grab him and take him. God, that's it.
It's so perfect. Yes.
Yes.
But yeah,
and you bash your enemy's faces in with a giant stick.
I think a criticism of the show has even been that some of the characters' deaths don't have much weight, because like once they're gone, they're fucking gone. Maybe their name is dropped a season later and there's not much influence from those characters. I think we've seen Herschel's influence kind of permeate on past his death, but I like that, you know, and it's relatively recent, very recent, but that Deanna's words she had to Michonne have a real actual effect on her actions that we see in the show. And even in her interactions with her own son, which is super interesting. That's good shit. I like that we're seeing her act on this and that we're seeing her thinking about it at the same time.
Yes. And Spencer does well in this episode. I mean, I know I'm breaking his balls.
Yeah.
But he acts in a believable fashion.
Yes. Yeah, he does.
Especially when it comes to having to like end, you know, kind of permanently end his mom. There's got to be that weird part of you. There has to be that weird part of you that when somebody you love deeply turns, that you're thinking they're not quite dead yet.
Yes.
Fucked up as that sounds, I would imagine that most people would kind of feel that way, even if just a little bit.
No, totally. And that's one of the most haunting aspects of the show and the whole premise of the show that gets taken for granted because it's been on the air for 6 years now. Zombies have become a trope. They've become, you know, a cultural mainstream thing. But that's haunting. That's, you know, it's scarier than a werewolf that just jumps out of nowhere and kills you, or vampires that fly out of the sky and are coming after you. This is your own family. Like, this is the faces of people you right. love and have always loved, and now they've turned into monsters and are going to eat you alive. Like, that's hellacious in so many ways. It's so right. tragic and dark. And so, yeah, no, and it totally strips away your ability to mourn for somebody when you know that they're still, like, quasi-alive wandering the woods trying to kill things. Like, Jesus.
Yes,
that's
yes.
pretty hard to be like, and God rest her soul. Like,
ashes to ashes.
I see her
dust.
Over there eating a fucking sparrow still, but,
right.
I guess I can conclude this part of my life. Like, yeah, it's sure. horrible. And so,
just turn the page. Just turn that page.
Hey, it's time to move on. Mama's gone. But but no, yeah, I think his actions are very believable in this. And I like the way that Michonne confronts him, too. And not of being like, you need to come back. What the fuck are you doing? But of like trying right. to understand. And when she realizes she's not going to make him come back, she's like, all right, fine. I'll just go with you. Like, I'll protect your dumb ass because you can't handle yourself.
Yeah,
and did you love her response of, I could have gotten it? She's like, yeah, I bet you could have, but I have a fucking sword. Why risk it?
Right. You got a fucking little shitty knife that's used to open fucking boxes. Like the shit knife you have.
Yeah.
Fuck,
exactly.
Man. These bitches all need pole arms. They need pole arms to keep these goddamn walkers at range.
Yeah. Yeah.
They should just go. Get some shields. Get some spears.
Yes, spears. All I could, like we talked about it last time, all I could think of was the Spartan phalanx when they're in the town clearing out
yes,
the zombies.
Dude.
I'm like, now if you guys had a rove and other people behind you with spears just going through this, boy, life would be easy.
Dude, spears and shields, good game, zombies. You lost.
Seriously.
Game over.
They should get more of that riot gear like they had back when Glenn pushed his way out of the prison.
Yeah.
That's
or crawled under a dumpster. You know, there's that.
There's a lot of those. Glenn's racking them
or
up.
Or was saved by full automatic fire from Abraham and Sasha.
Oh, boy.
Or barely escaped in a tunnel.
Oh, boy.
How many lives does he have left?
He's got, I don't know. Man, he's got a lot. He must have jumped on a couple of green mushrooms on the way. Something.
It's possible. Boom. So Spencer, Michonne wants to help. So she says no. She, like you said, she follows her out. And that's when we see Deanna Walker. We see Carl first. Michonne spots Carl.
You know,
she's like, what's Carl doing out
what
here?
What in the hell is that dumbass kid with his fucking lame, angsty girlfriend? But no, my first go on this when, you know, they have the, because there's that dramatic reveal. We don't see who the Walker is when, you know, it's just Carl and Enid seeing it. I thought it was going to be old Ronnie boy. Because he got stuck through the chest. He didn't get his head.
I thought too, dude.
I thought
it's funny you say that. We thought the same exact fucking thing.
Mind waves. We're on him. We're on. We're connected.
Mind bullets, bitch.
I totally thought it was going to be, she's like, oh, I want to take him out. He was my boyfriend. And he was like, fuck that. I want to kill him. But no, yeah. I guess I had more.
Here's what I will say, which was pretty cool about this. It was nice to see that they didn't have to use any makeup for Deanna. She just, in fact, they're probably like, you know what? Don't put makeup on her. She's going to be a walker.
It'll make her look
she looked
alive.
Great. Yeah, she looked a little heavy.
Ouch.
You know? She looked heavier than Deanna looked in life. So,
God
boy.
Rest ye, Deanna.
Yeah, she looked great, honestly. Looked much better, had a lot more vigor in her step.
Spry. Never seen a woman pull a fucking squirrel off a tree and eat it like this stage of Deanna.
Looking real spry. Absolutely. She looked great. Better in death than in life. Oh, my God. I just want to say that I'm really sorry for your loss, but she looks wonderful.
She looks
so wonderful.
Radiant. What's her
secret? She looks radiant. She looks beautiful. I love the flower arrangements. I understand that your loved one's in a coffin. This is a wake, and I shouldn't say weird shit. But seriously, She looks great.
Is it natural? Or maybe is it Maybelline?
You know, sometimes, and I don't want to be a weirdo, but sometimes they look really waxy. But she looks great.
I mean, I would trade places in a heartbeat.
I wish my Auntie B would have been brought to this funeral home. It's that weird fucking thing. It's so weird. She looks so vibrant in her coffin. Anyway, they give her a nice clean kill. And this is, I don't want to just blow past this because I think this is good shit here.
Yeah.
But I really like the, I don't know. I like the fact that he does it back of the head kind of, and he looks at her and he kind of has to get over it and deal with it. He has to, you know what I mean? It's good. It's good shit out of Spencer.
Yeah. No, this is.
And then he says, so that's why I was out here. Like he gets it in that moment. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is definitely his best scene of the show so far. I mean, like, this is either, you know, this is the typical Walking Dead path. Either he's going to get a lot more interesting from here and become a more fleshed out character, or his time is fucking nigh now. Like,
right.
We don't know which way it's going to go, but yeah. No, this was good work from him.
It's funny how the Walking Dead audience is just on eggshells.
All the time.
Like a moment of happiness, a moment of redemption, a turn in the character arc, a change of perspective, and we start to go, probably dead.
Exactly.
That's just how we see it now. It's so funny.
Yeah.
So Spencer recalls his mom's note. He recalls never really knowing the way. And then Michonne's like, listen, her line is, I've been out here chasing you all over the woods. You still got family. You still got a home. Basically saying, you're my family now, right? That was nice.
Yeah. No, I like it. And that's the thing.
That was good shit. Again, Michonne crushing this episode.
It's not the forefront
and
theme.
Then crushing Rick's dick. Oh, sorry.
Dick crushing and episode crushing.
You work for that shit, white boy. You work.
But I like that. So, yeah. The overall, you know, the conversations in this episode are about, you know, community of like you either choose to, you know, contribute to this community or you're going to just fucking, you know, sit in the woods like a lame teenager and read a comic by yourself. Like, you know, you make a choice and, you know, this is, hey, you know, you've concluded this life with your, you know, your family. You've put your mother to rest finally. So stop being weird and come back and work with us.
Yeah, you've got this. You've got Rick and Daryl trying to help out. You know, Daryl's trying to help out Denise. You got Carl trying to help out Enid. You got Michonne trying to help out Spencer. You've got each person from each group trying to help somebody else out, trying to further this community, try to further these relationships. And that's nice. It's nice the way it's set up that way.
Yeah. No, I like it. I like that they're just, it's kind of a, you know, they've recovered from the real damages, the major damages of this, you know, attack and all the zombies being there. And now they're just trying to like strengthen up the bonds, make sure everybody's on the same page. Like, hey, we're all here, right? You're not all going to just like flail out on us now, even though shit got rough.
Right. Absolutely, man. And then they bury her and they put a little D up on the thing, which was adorable.
The internet interpreted as, I'm just ready for the D. Okay, we get it, everybody. We get the joke.
Doot, doot. She wants the D so bad.
Gotta carve it in a tree.
She's carving that shit on trees. It'd be funny if she kind of just was carving on the tree and you don't really see what she's carving. Her head's kind of cocked to the side. And she's got kind of like a little wry grin. Her eyes are a little glazed over, and then it's just a big dick she carved in the middle of the tree. And you're like, what? What are you doing, Michonne? Oh, sorry.
With whoops, an R on one ball off. And an M on the other.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Beautiful.
Juvenile shit. So let's talk about Carl and Judith when he's back home.
This is good. This is a good scene.
It's a good scene. I concur.
You know, it's fun. When I think back on all of the scenes of the show of Carl that I genuinely like the most, guess who they're with? Michonne. It's the one relationship he has that, you know, and he's got, you know, a good relationship, a good parentheses, my finger parentheses you can't see, quote with his dad that is still strained and weird in certain ways, whereas he seems way more open and kind of ready to go with Michonne at this point.
Right.
Like, they're genuinely comfortable around each other, and it's nice and warm. And again, this shit, you know, you could roll your eyes at it, but fuck, like, how much of this do we get in the Walking Dead universe? It really is, like, every 12 episodes we get some warmth and human kindness.
Yeah, and in this part's important to talk about, but before we get right to the Carl and Michonne dynamic, let's talk about him hanging out with Judith and they're like stargazing and shit and he's talking to her.
True.
It's a touching scene. I mean, I like this kind of profile shot of him sitting there you know, him holding his sister, doing this. It's almost like what we talked about a little bit, Matt, when we were saying, like, is this some kind of, you know, are we getting ready to make this character mature, passing of the torch,
yeah.
a kind of weird thing going on here.
Definitely.
But part of me, and every time I see, like, somebody talking to a child and advising a child who doesn't really understand what's going on, I'm forced to think of Conan the Barbarian, where he's like, no one on this earth can you trust. Not men, not women, not beasts. This you can trust. And he shows him the sword. I just wanted Carl to do that so bad.
That is true.
Alas, it doesn't happen.
Pulling out a combat knife. Take it, baby. Hold it in your baby hands.
This you can trust. Next thing you know, baby Judith has one eye, just like her brother.
Well, that was quick, Coral. Fuck.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Michonne. And I saw what you did with Deanna. And Michonne's a little disturbed by his choice at first, thinks it's a little sloppy.
Yeah. No, it's purely genuine concern. And the point was, she was trying to make was, why were you were using, I mean, he was using himself as bait to draw, you know, Deanna around and get, because he had already seen Spencer. He knew, he put the pieces together that Spencer must be out there looking for her. And he led her that way. And she was just seeing it as, you know, because he's who he is, that was an unnecessary risk. I care a lot about you. Why the fuck are you going to use yourself as zombie bait just for the sake of somebody else's, emotional closure? But I think, she hadn't really thought about it from the angle of, he knows what that's like. He had to do it. His own mother. He understands that kind of like that aspect of, you need this actual physical closure and how important it can be to somebody. And I like, again, the same way she interacts with Spencer, I like that what happens here is that she genuinely gets it. I think that's part of what I like the most about Michonne's character is that she's not one of the people who, when she hears what somebody else's viewpoint is, just doesn't just come back with, well, you still shouldn't have done it, blah, blah, blah. She's like, okay. I get it. Like, she thinks about it. She actually empathizes and goes, all right, well, I understand. I just wanted to be clear with you. Like, you know, she's just such a good fucking character.
She is good. And I do like how, you know, there's sometimes wisdom in a child. And as much as I fucking break the balls off the kid, there's something to be said about his perspective here. But let's talk a little bit about it. He wanted, I guess he feels like, I don't know how you take it, but I guess he feels like maybe he thought this would help Spencer with closure on Deanna.
Yeah.
In a similar vein to where he kind of ended his own mom. He ended his own mom.
Yeah.
Right? That happened.
Yep.
So is that, what do you think? Is that what you think is going on here? Do you think he's doing it because he thinks that Spencer might need this? Is this some sort of wisdom of experience that Spencer just lacks, that Carl, unfortunately, as fucked up as it is, has?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's pretty much exactly what it is. Is that he knows that he probably wouldn't be probably as at peace with his own mom and the way everything turned out if he hadn't been there to see it fully in, to know it was over, to know that, you know, they're not wandering around as a zombie. Like, you know, they're gone. I saw to it myself, and you know, and that's the end of it. So I think he probably immediately felt the same thing for Spencer. Of like, well, fuck, he's. How long has he been wandering the woods trying to find his own mother? Like, let's let him take care of it. Let him know that she's gone.
Mm, yeah, interesting. And that's when he tells Michonne, look, I would have done it for you. So, again, we see this real connection here between these guys. It sounds like they've been living together. I know it's been 5 weeks, probably not for a full 5 weeks, but maybe 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really tight at this point. She's kind of taken on this maternal instinct for him. She looks after him. She cares for him.
Yeah. And she had in the past, too. That had started.
It's true.
You know, back in season four, you know, he was one of the first, God, maybe the first other character that she opened up to about, I was a mother. I had a child, and that child died. Like, you know, she really, maybe she had told Andrea that, but we don't see her tell her that.
Right.
So I think, you know, she opened up to Carl relatively early on. And I think she has that, you know, that spark of like motherly concern that she hadn't really gotten to feel again until meeting Rick and meeting Carl and seeing the baby Judith. Like, that's why, I'm jumping ahead because I can't fucking help myself. But the relationship that comes about between Michonne and Rick feels so genuinely earned on this show. Like, it has had a long history. It has had a real, actual leading up and it does not feel contrived, and that's what I love the most about it all. And why part a big part of why it doesn't feel contrived is her genuinely warm relationship to Carl and to the, you know, baby Judith.
Yeah, absolutely. I have no problem with it at all. So they hug like a little family. Yeah, it's this weird shot of them hugging on the porch like the end of a fucking Party of Five episode or something.
Exactly.
It's a funny shot.
Executive producer, One Tree Hill, Scott Scotterson, or fucking whatever. Right.
So Daryl and Rick get home. They bring Jesus to Denise.
Mm-hmm.
Back. Or they bring her in there, and then they put him in that little sheetrock prison.
I was about to say, in the most secure of all fortresses that no one has ever escaped from.
The you know, sheetrock, that shit you can just punch through. So they leave Jesus a little note in some water, like fucking Santa Claus.
I know.
Oh, look, he ate half the cookie and then dad must have scared him back up the chimney. Right? That kind of shit.
It's so funny that his name is Jesus. Like, leave the cookies out for Jesus. In a world where Santa doesn't exist, Jesus is just the one who delivers your presents.
Yeah. Next thing you know, he's fucking waving his hand in front of Carl's face, his eyes back, you know, healing
exactly.
and shit.
Exactly. Ugh.
And then there's this moment again, Rick really gazes at him. He's really got a man crush on this guy.
He does.
He really does.
You know, Daryl goes ahead and walks on out, and Rick's standing there for a second, and he just pauses and looks over him and thinking, well, after everything, I know he's an asshole. I just still kind of want to lick him. Just lick his cheek.
I just want to drag my tongue across his cheek like that creepy garden T2, you know what I mean?
I just want to know what a cat's tongue feels like on the bristles.
Yeah, I guess. And then we get, you know, let's talk about Michonne and Rick. Let's do it. Come on, let's talk about it.
Ooh,
we've been beating around the bush a real long time.
Now let's
beat
into the bush.
Yeah, we've been fucking around way too long, little girl. Let's get down to business.
Oh, boy. Finally.
Let's get down to it.
Fucking finally. Well, I love the whole lead up. I love all of it. I love that.
Be honest with me.
Sure.
How long did it take you before your dungarees clanged down around your ankles?
Oh, you can't. As soon as I saw the firelit couch, done. Done. I want to see a silhouette of just full-blown cowgirl position going to town. Like, give it to me. Give it to me, AMC. I want it. Another one of those times where I really wish this was an HBO show.
Fucking Matt's belt buckle just clanging off the wooden floor at home.
My roommate stepping out of his room and immediately slamming the door right back into his room.
Desperately reaching for tissues. tissues. So, yeah, man, I'll tell you.
No, but what I love about
honestly, let's talk about it. Let's talk about their relationship. Let's talk about their decision to do this here.
It's fucking great. And like I was saying, I love the lead up, you know, of Rick is sitting down on the couch. Michonne comes over and joins him. And we have probably the first time I can remember for a long time in this show. How was your day? Like a very fucking normal, even kind of mundane conversation that is like the necessity of relationships and being close to somebody. And
yes.
They have that. And we finally get to see two fucking characters that we know really, you know, this is not some other new character like Jesus or somebody else who's been introduced four episodes ago. Like these are our two characters. We've known Michonne for 3.5 seasons. We've known Rick the whole fucking time. We know them so well, and they're just sitting together on a couch and talking and laughing and having a nice exchange. It's so genuine. I fucking love this scene.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I like in the chat, Adam brings up a great point. He's like, he gets her breath mints and neither of them pop one before playing tonsil hockey.
That's
a great point.
To that point, you know, I mean, I love this whole scene. I love that they end up just banging it out. But fuck, I can't believe Michonne wasn't like, oh, by the way, your fucking vinegar balls need to go into a shower first because I don't want a UTI tomorrow. Like,
yeah,
that
for
dude's
sure.
just been running all day. He is literally like just been sweating KY at this point. Like, he's just a sloppy fucking alien. Ugh. But,
what's the matter? You afraid of the way a man smells, boy?
Damn.
Huh? You afraid of a little man sweat on you?
Scrape
you afraid
off.
A couple. Afraid of a couple of them Georgia pit stains, boy? You afraid of that? You afraid of a real man, boy?
God damn. Just scrape off the cottage cheese that's forming out of my
Ooh,
body.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's cool that there's a playful demeanor about them on the couch.
Yeah.
I do like that. I do like that they're comfortable. This is not the first time they've banged.
What?
Like, when he's laying on the couch, I don't think so. Do you think so?
I think it is. You know, I'll admit, the thought passed in my mind of, like, maybe this is the first time we're seeing it, but it has happened before. But I don't know. There was still.
I'd have to watch it again. That's a good point. Maybe it was the first time.
Because of the way that it started and the way that she goes, I'm working up to it, all of that. I think they have very much been living together and they're kind of like, you know, fucking co-team captains. And, you know, she's definitely there looking out for the kids, especially now. But I think this is the first time that they really actually were like, what are we fucking doing? Let's do this for real.
Who, I don't know, man. I kind of feel like they've done it before. Oh. I'm not sure. The only reason I say it is because they fucking live together, man. Like, that's, you fucking live together?
Yeah. And you're not slamming genitals every chance you can get?
The second she backs that shit up when they're spooning, it's on, bitch. It is on.
Oh, baby. My God.
Yeah.
But I also, you know, one thing I loved about this, too, is, you know, when they're talking about their day and he was like, well, I found a guy, this and that. And she's like, oh, you found a guy. And he, you know, she's like, wow, you really did have a day when he talks about the, you know.
Yeah, I love her naturalness in that line. You had a day. Just believable shit.
Yeah. And I love the little, like, buried jealousy when she's like, well, I found a guy. And he was like, you found a guy?
Right.
He's like, right. What? No. Wait, that was nice. There's just so much actual... we don't get a lot of these interactions because in the show, I mean, because there are not too many characters who have been around on the show enough or known each other long enough to have a lot of subtext in their conversations. And these characters have known each other enough to have that, to have those kind of like that playfulness that has layers behind it. And to get more into, like, you know, the relationship that I really, really like, I think it is so believable and so earned because, like I was saying, of Michonne's relationships to his kids. You know, she was basically a fucking corpse that she admits to being when she first met Andrea and was, you know, still toting around the armless, you know, zombie slaves she had.
Right.
And, you know, it was basically like Rick's fatherhood status of having kids that kind of reawoke that part, you know, that aspect of her life where she was like, I do miss that. I wish I want that again. You know, it's okay to want that again. And I think Rick seeing how much she genuinely looks after Carl and cares about him and it has formed a bond with him, you know, it's a real actual adult relationship, not of just like, because even Abraham and Rosita are kind of a relationship of convenience when you think about it. It's like, they're attracted to each other. They kind of respect one another, but it's kind of like a prolonged friends with benefits, I imagine.
Based on the way he wants to get balls deep in Sasha, I think you're probably right about that.
Exactly.
I think you're probably right about that.
Whereas I think when it comes to Michonne and Rick, there's such a deeper reservoir of like respect and admiration and understanding. They've each been parents and they've each lost, Rick's lost his wife. She lost her husband. She lost a fucking child. Like, you know, they've been through so much and survived so much together. Like, I can't think of anybody else on this show who, like, they stack up to each other so equally. Like, they fit very, very well. And it's just, it's so fucking believable. It is not contrived. Ah, I can't state that enough of how much I feel that it's genuinely earned.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. The respect part of that, I think, is the best point there. And that's they have respect for each other, and they always have, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
And we see the guard down a little. Like, they've both been so professional for sake of the group, it seems, that they've both kind of put this thing aside that's been brewing inside them in the meantime.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like it when he's laying on the couch and she comes in and she's just like, come on, move, dude. Right?
Yeah.
And he moves. Yep. You know, it's like, there's a weird comfort level here. There's a weird comfort level between the two of them.
Oh, definitely.
They've been living there. That's why I wasn't sure if it was the first time or if the first time we saw it. I have no idea. We'd have to actually check some kind of script for that. But I got the impression that that's what was going on. And I was laughing at some of the things in the chat where they're saying, you know, is Eugene staying outside the window, like, whacking off like he was doing at the fucking library?
Fucking John Belushi on the ladder.
Hey, somebody, is that hair conditioner on the window? No, sure isn't.
Oh, dear, I do believe my erect penis has jettisoned my ladder from the wall.
Now I'm going to talk to you about weird grains.
Save the sorghum. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So that's the episode.
Pretty much. Well, we forgot the little...
Let's not forget about a little old post-coitus beautiful black chocolate back with ripply muscles underneath it laying in his bed.
God damn, it's beautiful.
Go together like peace and harmony.
And then, hello, Peeper Jesus. Just like the real Peeper Jesus. Always watching.
What would you do if he called them sinners? Would you throw your TV out the window?
Oh, damn, I didn't even think about that.
Be real.
Hey, you guys are up here sinning. I would hope Rick would just absolutely paint the wall behind him with his fucking brains.
So he escapes and he sneaks into their room?
Yeah.
I mean...
Fucking creeper. I mean, I guess he's just at this point assuming that Rick is like the leader of the entire place, or maybe just that he already knows him. I don't fucking know. It's a little weird. Mm. I mean, I love that they still spring to attention with their weapons. Two fucking sleepy, fucking drained warriors just still ready to go.
Yeah.
Post-coital warriors.
And this guy, like, dude, what is his deal? Like, what a fucking creep show.
Yeah. He's weird.
You don't knock, you just appear like some whimsical fucking sprite creature from the goddamn deep forest.
Well, if I knocked.
Like, oh.
If I knocked, like, how was I going to see her nipples and your fucking bean and berries?
Yeah. What's going on, dude? Good Lord.
Yeah, he's a weirdo.
I don't know. It's a weird ending. And they, of course, they got the weapons on them, and then it ends.
Yeah.
There's something really weird about this character, and I don't quite understand it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, we felt kind of the same way about Aaron. I remember when he first showed up, of how he was just like, and now we have a Gap model out of nowhere looking clean as hell in this zombie apocalypse. But,
yes.
But,
yes.
You know, he came around, was fleshed out. I like Aaron. That's one thing I want to
say. Fleshed out, you say?
No.
Interesting choice of words, Tim.
I do. That's another thing that actually bugs me, is that I wanted to see a lot more of both Heath, Aaron, Carol, for sure. Not enough of them.
Yeah. Who are they?
Who are they? What are they up to? Who knows?
Anyway, let's wrap this shit up, my brother. Yes. We are going to, we need to do some listener comments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cue up some music. All right. So who do you got this week, bro?
This week, Miss Karen Eagle Eye Lomas. Starting with the obvious, Rishon! Yes, so glad he fell for a strong woman. She's not going anywhere. I want to say that I'm with you, Karen. I think this is a safe one. I am not worried about Michonne's life after this. She goes on to say, now on to Carl. The chemistry between Carl and Enid. In my opinion, Enid has changed. Not sure if Glenn hit a nerve. Enid didn't want to be out there, and why did Carl leave that backpack for her to carry? It's like all of a sudden he's grown a set. Really, could it be because the competition is gone? On the other hand, jump to how he led Walker Deanna to Spencer was so mature so that someone who loved her could actually kill her. Then the Carl Michonne moment on the porch was a real Hallmark moment apocalypse style. Good to see Jesus is finally in the story. What the hell, Rick and Daryl? You couldn't bring the car and the truck full of goodies? That's a super good point, and I know, I can't remember who made the point in the chat too, but somebody else pointed that out, of like, why couldn't one guy take the car and one guy take the truck? Another perfectly good fucking solution to your big pile of banana shenanigans. But anyways. Also, why did you leave the car behind? Our man Rick must have been thinking of Michonne while he was on that run. Careful! Don't want to get sloppy. I agree.
A woman after my own heart.
Always.
Sloppy, sloppy, sloppy. This week I have Craig Dealey from across the pond. Hey, he sent an email, hosts@libertystreetgeek.net, if you want to communicate with us, hosts@libertystreetgeek.net. Just a couple of quick thoughts regarding our latest Walking Dead offering. Last week, I said that if Carl started wearing an eye patch and saying, biters, then Rick should end him there and then for everyone's sake. I am pleased to see, no pun intended, that Carl is taking a step-by-step approach to Philipdom. Start off by wearing a little eye cover rather than go the whole patch straight away. 2, don't kill a walker for whom you have some affection. 3, and some stuff happens. 4, find a tank and attack places. May need more thought between steps 2 and 4, I suppose. He continues by saying, is it me or did Lady Skeletor look better as a walker than she did as a living person?
Ouch.
Harsh? Oh. Too soon? Who needs that expensive age-reducing cream when you can seemingly shed years by becoming a zombie? Market that oil of Olay, people. And last it happens, I said out loud, Matt on LSG will be so pleased.
Oh, yes.
I imagine he will be positively, wow, tumescent at the moment. Belay that. I am now trying very hard, no pun intended again, to not imagine Matthew in any state of excitement. Suffice it to say that Rishon is on. My worry now is that we may lose one of them. Can't have too much happiness with our main characters.
Yes.
Good shit.
Tumescent. What a good word. What a lovely poetic word for a thick dick full of blood. That's what that means. Like an engorged penis.
Awesome. Beautiful. Thanks for the email, Craig. It was brilliant.
I gotta say, though, one of the big reasons I picked Karen is that I very much agree with her. I actually think this is going to be a very safe relationship as far as the lives of either character. One reason I think that is because in the comics, Andrea is still alive and she is, you know, Rick's girl in those, and she's still going strong. And I think they have blended that element here of having, you know, instead of Andrea, it's Michonne. And I think that it's going to be interesting to see, you know, because Rick was hardly together with Laura. It was really only season 2 that he had his wife with him. And then the very beginning of season 3, she's fucking dead. And so we haven't really seen him. We've seen single fucking lone dog alpha wolf Rick a hell of a lot more than Rick with a woman in a relationship. And I think that's going to be one of the other newer, more interesting dynamics to keep up with at this point in the show. So I think they'll keep her around, at least that they should. And I think it would be, I'm not even kidding when I say it. Like, I know I joke sometimes and have hyperbole. If they were like, surprise, just kidding, we were fucking with you guys, we're killing a main character and it's Michonne, I would damn near be ready to stop watching the show. I swear to God, that would piss me off. But I don't think they're going to do that. I really think that's super unlikely. But yeah.
Right. Good shit, man. So some of the issues I have with this show are just in the way that some of these characters conduct themselves when they go out on runs after being in this for God knows how many years and making decisions like, let's take little snub-nosed pistols out to do these things. Just dumb shit like that. When I watch The Walking Dead, one of the things I do is I think to myself, ooh, what a crazy situation to be in. I wonder how I would react. Now, nobody ever knows how they react unless they've been in that situation and reacted accordingly. And not many of us have been in the zombie apocalypse. Mm-hmm. But it's fun to speculate and to think about. But one of the things I do say to myself is that I know that there are certain precautions I would take, and I have not been in the zombie apocalypse, and I'm not some super smart guy. And I just wonder, like, why do they make dumb decisions? And that kind of annoys me. But yeah. Outside of that, I think you're really onto something. We've never really seen Rick with a comfortable relationship. He was with Lori. It was estranged because of Shane and his time in the hospital and her thinking he was dead.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Always been tension there. The relationship between Shane and Rick has been the most compelling relationship of the show, in my opinion, up till this point. And I feel like Lori furthered that along.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
I do like the idea of what's going to occur between him and Michonne at this point. How is this going to go down? What's it going to be like? You know, I'm looking forward to that. I want to see how this goes down. If it changes the dynamic at all, what it brings to the table, how it alters the show. Because one of the complaints I have is that I feel like I'm stuck in a cycle of rinse and repeat.
Yes.
And one of the things I've always said is that as long as it's compelling, I won't mind. So maybe I'm a liar. Maybe I wasn't self-aware enough to realize that it's rinsing and repeating. It's pretty good, but I'm starting to go, okay, what's the end game here? What's the end game for the show? I'm starting to think that way. How do we mix things up? Do you remember how compelling it was when the end of the first season came and they went to the CDC and they met this government guy, it'd be cool if they started meeting remnants of government, remnants of this, remnants of that, instead of just these straggling bands that rally around this charismatic and lethal leader. You know, it'd be cool to see different pockets of people, different types of people. Alexandria, I don't want to spite the show because Alexandria was different. The theme was, are our heroes the bad guys? Can they no longer incorporate themselves into a society that is seemingly normal, untouched by the apocalypse? Are they the enemy? What's their impact going to be like on quote-unquote normal people? That was different. That was new. We need to keep doing new shit. They got to get creative. They got to bring some more storylines into it that put our group in weird situations, not just like, okay, this is this menacing group with a charismatic leader. How are they going to battle him off? He's the worst shit. He makes the governor look like fucking Peter Pan, you know?
The Dragon Ball Z syndrome of this one's even stronger.
Right. Can't fall too much in that. Absolutely. Yeah, you know what I mean? So I don't want to prejudge the season. They've laid the groundwork for some different things by getting rid of the Alexandrians, by like you pointed out with very good observation, which is maybe we're going to see something different out of Rick and Michonne because now that they're together, it's going to change the dynamic of the writing. I think that's clever. But let's see what happens when they run into some fucking, you know, think Fear the Walking Dead. Takes a group like that or some group they've never seen before or something different. Fucking people held up in a library that work for the government. A fucking group of cops that aren't murderous psychopaths that run a fucking hospital. A group of, you know what I mean? Something different. I just want them to present to us.
Or maybe all the couples of Alexandria get to go on the yacht from the Fear the Walking Dead and it becomes the love boat of the apocalypse.
Yes, I'm a big fan of group dynamics being the problem. The love boat, exciting and new. Sorry, I couldn't let that pass. Come on board, we're expecting you.
Isaac, hey.
The love boat. So, no, I want, yeah, man. One thing I like is I like when enemies are forced to be friends. I know it's a trope. I like that. I like when the group dynamic is so fucking weird that different POVs creep into things and make things a little weird.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not, and I don't just mean like Abraham wants to go this way, the group wants to go this way, they see it his way because this way is blocked, so he comes around. But like real, like I want to see stuff within our group that starts to maybe cause issues with them. You know what I mean? Like, I know we had it with Rick, and they're like, Rick, you need to calm down. You're being crazy.
Also, think of the idea of the next, or one of the future big bads, or the big, you know, faction, one of our main characters breaking off and leading a different faction of people that becomes, like, the fucking most evil villains we've had.
Sure, yeah.
Still absolutely. A little bit of the Dragon Ball Z problem there, but, you know, the idea of
look,
the
I'm not saying,
friend.
Look, I'm not saying I'm folding. I'm just saying that... I'm starting to, my instincts are starting to fuck with me a little, and I'm starting to get these instincts like, I don't know, I'm looking for lifeboats. I'm not looking for them. I just want to know where, I want to know where the exit signs are, and I want to know where the lifeboats are, just in case things get a little weird here. I'm feeling a little like
jump
vigilant.
Off this love boat.
Exciting. I just want to know. That's all.
Yeah. I understand it.
But, hey, I'm excited for Rick and Michonne. That was the coolest part of the episode. The shenanigans with Daryl and Jesus and Rick are so weird that they demand explanation. I mean, is this guy going to be some kind of mystical warrior? Is he going to be fucking magic?
Yeah. No, I do.
I mean, is that crazy to say? It's a fucking comic book. The Walking Dead's a fucking comic book.
It is, yeah.
They have walking creatures. They have animated dead things that... we don't understand.
Yep.
I mean, is he going to be have weird fucking powers? If he does, I'm not going to lie. It's going to be hard for me to, like, continue.
I don't think it'll go that far. I don't think he's going to be a voodoo demon.
They have to
crazy.
Explain his fucking, how cagey he is, though. It's really weird. Yeah. Anyway, I've said enough.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm happy for my power couple.
Ah, yeah. That's my takeaway. Thank goodness. Finally.
Awesome. Well, let's get the hell out of here, Matthew, and bid these good people adieu. And if you want to hang out for a bit afterwards, we can hang out with some of the people in chat. But yeah, we got to get out of here, man. We've said enough. Mm-hmm. Matthew, why don't you tell these good people good night?
Have a good night next time, guys. Also, before we get comments on the next episode, I would love to see comments on predictions. We didn't really do that this time, and I want to just hear what all of you guys' predictions for the next episode is. Is Jesus a voodoo demon? Shaolin monk? Cursed gypsy ragamuffin? I don't know. I want to hear you guys' thoughts on it all. But definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for listening.
And if you have those thoughts, hosts@libertystreetgeek.net, okay? Mm-hmm. Ship your shit to that email, because not everyone uses social media. And even if you do, if you'd rather just keep your shit tight and lean and not plop it on Facebook, you don't have to. You can email us at hosts@libertystreetgeek.net. All right. We're out. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. If you like what you heard, remember to share the episode with friends. Get us out there. Get our name out there. Help us out. And you know what? Check out libertystreetgeek.net. We got all kinds of podcasts over there. Plenty to listen to. Science fiction, film, Game of Thrones, True Detective, and more. All right. We'll see you next time.
Yes, sir.
A long time coming and a long time coming. You know what I'm saying, everybody?
God damn. Shit.
What's up, Matthew? Right. How you doing, pal?
Good. Good.
The fuck is that noise?
My last obnoxious bite of stew while we're not officially started yet.
We're not officially started. This is the pregame. For everybody that's here on Mixlr, thanks for turning up, motherfuckers. This is a little pregame. If you've never come here before, I can assure you we start more professionally. Yeah. This is called the behind-the-scenes featurette.
Those sweet DVD extras.
The sweet DVD extras. Tell me, how did you feel when you shot this scene? Nobody really gives a fuck, but we're going to ask you anyway.
Reminds me of those, like, really fucking first generation DVDs like from like 2001 where their features their list of features on the back, one of them is interactive menus.
Awesome.
That's us.
Yeah.
You right know, here right now.
This song might not be relevant to some of you, although you guys do like it, but this is the governor's song, right?
And your favorite character ever on the show.
Well, we might have a mini governor in the making, right?
Oh no.
Yes.
One more eye.
Yeah.
I can't see.
That's my best breathy voice I got, pal. That's it. That's all you get. That's the extent of my vocal talents.
Gotta Tom Waits it up a little more. Oh, Josh. Yeah, damn straight. Ah, it's going to get so hot. This is going to be my recording area is going to be a sauna by the end of this.
Man, I tell you what. I haven't seen love like this in a long time.
Yeah, so good.
Getting ready for it. What are you having? What are you eating? Stew for supper tonight, pal?
A little bit of stew.
That's cool. Yeah. Figured you'd wait till 11 to have the sups.
Hey, it's only 8 o'clock my time. Oh, it's a reasonable time.
Well, for those of you joining us in the chat, we are going to have 3 hours before we start because Matthew is on West Coast time.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Mm-hmm. Mm.
All right.
Hello, hello. Thanks for stopping by, TK. Josh in the house. David.
Yes. Yes, David.
They're all there. Tissues never works.
God, what? You just tear right through it like a tennis ball? I mean,
dude, tissues don't work. Come on, guys. Everybody knows that. Tissues worked when you were like in seventh grade and you would come like, you know, a little fucking dab on the dong. It doesn't work.
I need one of those automotive towels they use to dab up oil.
You know them fucking rugs you throw down under the car when you're working on the starter? That's what I need. No, but like it's just a weird. From Buenos Aires comes Felix.
Sexiest name.
Well, the line's filling up, pal. We should probably do a podcast. What do you think about that?
Is that what we're here for?
I think we're supposed to talk about The Walking Dead tonight. I think that's supposed to happen.